This is an ABC podcast.
Classic. James Stewart in Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window.
Has to be one of Hitchcock's best movies, right?
As the blinds go up, co-starring Grace Kelly.
The story goes like this. A photojournalist can't leave his apartment due to a broken leg. He becomes increasingly obsessed with his neighbours.
And there's three blinds and they're going up.
He can't help but imagine their lives.
And we are getting our first glimpse.
As he watches them.
At this apartment block.
Through his window.
Colour by Technicolor. There you go.
It's a story that resonates with documentary maker Mike Williams.
Classic theme song.
Not being able to leave his apartment during the pandemic lockdown has made Mike hyper aware of the people in his building. They're so close, and yet he barely knows anything about them. I'm Miyuki Okiranta, and in this edition of Earshot, Mike's testing how welcome those welcome mats are. He's attempting to get to know his entire apartment building in Arncliffe in Sydney's south. He has ideas about the people he's been watching, but he wants to find out who are they really and what are their names. And while he won't solve a murder, he will attempt to confront the neighbour who plays reggae music way too loud.
Going through the window now.
Okay, I'm starting with an easy one, but I'm still nervous. I'm friendly with these guys who are right next to me, but I'm not sure we've ever had a real conversation.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry. Thanks, man. How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey,
how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. Is now the worst possible time? You having dinner?
One time Logan buzzed our place at midnight because he locked himself out of the building. He bought me some New Zealand soft drink to say thanks.
She comes first. Thank you.
Logan and Samantha have a new baby, Indira.
Don't let me hold you up. Go ahead. Feed.
Do you want me to warm this up?
Me crashing her dinner time is just a part of their new improvised lives as parents.
Lot changed since she's come. Make her been pureeing all afternoon. Her stuff for us is going to be like sandwich.
With her, you know, it's like you make these plans, but yeah, they pretty quickly just go out the window. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both parents are from New Zealand. They've been here over a decade each.
I used to work at the New Zealand consulate, so I came in with work back then and also lifestyle. Being 20, the GFC hit in New Zealand, so I just went with a kind of Australia, the money tree. You know, because I've always been like, yeah, we'll eventually go home. And the longer I'm here, the more roots you lay. And so we haven't made it back yet.
Nah.
After Indira was born, Samantha took her back to New Zealand for a 3-month stint. Logan stayed here by himself to work.
It was quite hard, actually. I guess, you know, your first child. And so I went back, I think, 4 times while they were there because I knew that I'd miss her. But, yeah, no, it was pretty tough. Yeah.
It's hard to talk to a New Zealander these days without talking about their Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. She seems so lovely. I wonder if that's another reason to go home.
Saw a lot of people in New Zealand that don't actually like her. And I don't think that's actually shown through the media over here. So the Australians, you know, they only get to show one side of what New Zealanders do like about her, but there's a lot of New Zealanders that don't like her also.
Mm, so. That's interesting.
And they don't show that over here. Yeah.
We can't mess with the perfect Jacinda image, okay? Don't wreck that. No. You think I'm going to edit that in there? You're crazy.
Yeah. I think eventually we will move back, like when she starts school, but... I mean, who knows? We've been saying that for the last 5 years, so, yeah.
Hi, Harry. It's Mike from 6.
On the top floor, I meet Harry. He lives with his cat, Obama. He invites me out onto the balcony.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful today.
Yeah. At the moment. Yeah, it's up and down like a yo-yo, you know? Yeah.
Harry lives directly above me. Sometimes he cuts his hair on his balcony, sweeps it off the edge, and it goes on our washing. But I don't care. One time we had an unfortunate worm farm massacre and I accidentally swept worm juice onto the apartment below us. It went all over their washing. Yeah, they don't live here anymore.
Okay. So they're two different mosques, right?
Two different ones, yeah. That's the main big one.
Harry's pointing out all the local attractions we can see from up here. He can't be bothered with a sit-down interview. So instead, he'd like to give me a complete tour of the local area. We head outside.
And then I planted those there and they grew from that right up to there.
How many years ago was that?
Oh, nearly going on for 9 years now.
The first stop on Harry's tour of Arncliffe is a local development nearby.
That one's going to go. This one's going to go. Lovely places, you know, old places.
He points out all the old houses they're going to knock down. They want to build another 10-storey apartment complex. There's big development plans for the Arncliffe precinct. Nearby, there's already a whole suburb of high-rise living. Some people don't like the look of apartment buildings, but people got to live somewhere. Along the tour, Harry points out some signs. There's one I walk past every day that I haven't read in a long time.
From World War II until 2015, Arncliffe was one of Sydney's most multicultural suburbs. I'll try and keep up with Harry here. He's getting away from me.
Of all the people that live in the building, there's only one set of Arncliffe natives.
I was born and raised here. Everyone knows everyone, you know. Nice little neighbourhood, close to all the relatives.
Hussein Saad has lived in Arncliffe his whole life and now he wants his young family to grow up here too. Oh, and his wife?
Are you an Arncliffe local as well?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd you guys meet?
Through a friend.
Right. Opposite sides of the Arncliffe railway line.
Literally, yeah.
Oh, really? How have you seen Arncliffe change over your life?
It's changed dramatically. It was more of an ethnic community years ago. Now it's more Australians coming in. It's changed a lot. A lot of the younger generations have matured quicker this time around, better than when we were growing up.
What do you mean?
It was a rough neighbourhood. You know, violence, drugs. There was more distribution to the streets. Now it's a lot cleaner, a lot mature. You know, no one's running amok anymore, man. It's improved a lot.
Tell me what you do with yourself.
I'm a barber. My dad was a barber. All my cousins are barbers. Basically, it runs through the family, man.
When coronavirus kicked off, Huss says he wasn't worried about germs, only his kids.
It's always a topic of conversation at work, you know. When someone gets sick, they say, oh, you're not really a barber.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's bad.
Right, because you're expected to be, if you're a true barber, you would have had all the, you would have built up the immunity.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've seen Huss praying through his window. Right now, Huss and the family are taking part in Ramadan.
There's two sides to it. There's religiously and then there's, you know, between you and yourself as well, you know, like religiously more focuses on God prescribed fasting so he can equalize between the rich and the poor, so the rich can feel a taste of hunger from what the poor's going through, so the rich can have mercy on the poor. And then the other side of it is more spiritual, you know, be calm, be humble, because you do obviously get tested. Ramadan, personal opinion, it's beautiful. I love it.
Seems I've caught Huss in a good mood. I'm lucky.
If it was another time and people weren't doing it tough, I would have told you to fuck off.
I'm the first visitor they've had in months.
But now you want to make people happy, you know, especially this time of what the shit we're going through. Yeah. Especially, you know, being a barber, you learn that sometimes you got to do things out of your comfort zone just to make someone happy.
Well, thanks, man. I do appreciate it.
You're a legend, bro. No worries. Thanks a lot.
Man. I enjoyed it, actually.
Oh, good.
I felt famous for a second.
You know, the day I started recording this, knocking on people's doors, this video was the one trending on Twitter.
I'll admit it. I will eat my neighbors. My daughters aren't starving to death. I'll eat my neighbors.
Obviously, I'm not going to eat my neighbors. I couldn't even tell you what some of them look like. there's one neighbour who I haven't seen, but I hear. He's the party unit, and he plays loud reggae music all the time. I'm putting off seeing him until last. I don't want any trouble or any ideas, considering today's news.
I will eat your ass!
Okay, so my name's Allison, and we are in our apartment right now in the living room on the couch, which has a blanket draped over it lovingly because we stained it and don't want anyone to notice.
Walking into someone else's apartment in the same building is like stepping into a parallel universe. In Allison's universe, in apartment 14, her priority is her housemates.
We have more cat furniture in the room than we have human furniture. And Lily has come back for more pets, and she is going to nuzzle that mic.
She wants the microphone.
She wants attention. And
I have a personal policy of refusing to let cats dominate my stories, but Lily...
There she goes. Now she's sitting on your lap.
Lily's a nice cat. Allison and her partner Jared would get more cats, but turns out Jared's not an animal person.
Just these two are a bit much for him, so...
he must really love you.
Yes. Yes, that was the test.
He did more than pass the test. Right before the lockdown, they got married.
We've gotten a lot of jokes about, like, oh, you're going to have one of the quarantine babies, and I'm like, no. I had a dream job in the U.S. that turned out to have a nightmare boss, so I was crying on a regular basis, and I quit within about 2 months. And I had been very casually seeing a certain gentleman.
They met while Jared was working in the U.S., but he'd since moved back to Australia.
And so when everything fell apart in Ohio, I just said, you know what? Screw it. I'll just go to Sydney and see him. Yeah, we'll just see what happens. So I came over. I was on a work and holiday visa, which would let me work for up to 6 months for a company. I basically just showed up and moved into his tiny little studio apartment because he was not expecting this. I told him I was coming. Like, yeah, and so 4 years later, still here.
And you just got married.
Yep, end of February on Leap Day. Because, as we said, we're too lazy to have to remember to celebrate it every year.
They honeymooned overseas, and as they skirted around the world, they dodged the coronavirus wave. When they got back, they had to go into a 2-week home quarantine. A former housemate got them groceries the night before they arrived back. Allison says they would have been screwed if that person hadn't have gone out of their way. It makes me think... If it were me coming home, sure, there's friends and family, but I wouldn't have anyone in the building to call to help like that. I don't even know anyone's phone number. And I don't think that's uncommon in apartments, but surely it doesn't have to be that way. While we were talking, Jared, the husband, was downstairs singing.
So Jared's in there, that's Jared.
Jared?
Yes?
I brought you a friend.
Garage door goes up, and there's the man behind the voice I've often heard.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm Mike.
G'day.
But it's been a while.
My goal for this year was to try and get into Rockdale Opera's upcoming production of Magic Flute, and that got immediately cancelled. So, yeah, kind of switched off for a bit. But this weekend decided to go back and just see how the voice was faring and warm it back up again.
Very nice. How's it feeling?
Very rusty. I was about midway through doing a PhD in physics, and I was walking down a corridor one day, and
somebody walked up to him and said,
"Hey, you. You've got a low voice."
He was like,
"Yes, it's quite low."
Then they were like,
"Well, do you sing?"
So he goes, "Oh,
yeah, in the shower, when I've been drinking."
Isaac alion amus ut boi baitsus ed oio galavoi.
They asked him to audition. He had nothing on that night, so he went. He did a song he'd heard on Classic FM a few weeks before. It was okay.
It was terrible. Got to the end of it thinking, okay, he's going to say, don't call us, we'll call you, whatever. And he turns around and says, okay, here's the deal. We rehearse Wednesdays and Sunday afternoons. We perform Sunday evening for Evensong Mass. You turn up or you don't get paid. And I sort of looked at him and went, what? Paid? And he's like, yes, you're going to be working for us. And what I realized after that was I had just been signed to one of the top choirs in Australia as a essentially semi-professional singer. Yeah, out of nowhere. And so
that's pretty funny.
And, you know, I worked with them for a little bit and sort of learnt the craft of singing.
Very nice.
It's very rusty at the moment.
Oh, it sounded great. That was cool, man.
No, usually at full voice, my low notes are even fuller of that.
Oh, hey there. My name's Mike from Unit 6. How are you going? Sorry to bother you.
Carolina's been living in apartment 4 for 7 years.
This building, yeah.
Okay, we've been here 5 years and we've...
Oh my God, no way!
It's a shock for both of us to realise we've been living literally on top of each other for that long and we've never connected.
I'm pretty sure that people know that, you know, I have kids because one of them cries a lot, and surprisingly it's not the girl, it's the boy, you know, who whinges a lot, and he gets that from his dad, and we both agree on that, surely.
I've heard her partner and two kids at the front. He sometimes gives them little rides on a motorbike.
I'm glad that you like.
Yeah, they're very, very vibrant. I like the colours.
It's vibrant, but not like super saturated.
Carolina's showing me some of her photography. She's right into it. She was just reworking her portfolio website when I walked in.
I do weddings, families. I do a little bit of everything at the moment.
How did you get into photography?
My dad had a Sony film camera, you call it? Yeah. We were always in front of the camera. He was always at the back. And for him, it was like making memories, making sure that we register. And then he suddenly passed away. So photography was always there, but he passed away in 2011. And I only had the photos. Once I saw all of this, I was like, well, what if something happens to me in the future? I want to make sure that I live my life as well and leave some memory for my kids. And then started with that, like, what if I create memories for others?
I can sense how Carolina's passion for photography is more than just a hobby or extra income. It's something else.
Is it hard for you to talk about it, you know, thinking about how you got into it and the connection with your dad?
Absolutely. Like, dad, it was just, sometimes my husband said, I think that you have a higher standard because you want me to be like your dad. Like, for me, he was the perfect dad. We brought up being Christian, so he was a man of God, and there was never arguments with mom and dad at home. He was very young, he was 48, so he was taken too soon. I mean, the connection is pretty strong. Like, every time I talk about my dad, like, you know, photography, my beliefs, my childhood, you know, it's just very, very strong. Yeah.
That's great though. That's great. You got that connection. You sort of, every time you take photos, you sort of, it's sort of a small tribute to him in a way.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, if he was here, he would be so proud.
What was his name?
Nirai. It means the shadow of God. My boy his middle name is my dad's name. Yeah.
The whingy one?
Yeah, but it's all the personality wise.
The father.
Yeah, he's not here, so yeah.
With the website update, Carolina needs a new professional portrait of herself, which can be hard when you're the photographer.
But if I do it with a tripod and I have an app on my phone that I could just take.
Carolina was going to try and do it by herself. So I offered to do the neighbourly thing.
Okay. Did you want a hand?
And help.
Yeah, that would be awesome. What do you have to do after this?
I'm just talking to people, so we can do it. We can do it.
Yes, do you have a car?
I have a car, yeah. Yeah, we can go anywhere.
I was thinking to go to the, what's it called, to the Newtown Park.
I'll come by at 4. Okay. I'm knocking your door at 4. Okay, cool, yes. We'll do it.
Oh, my God.
Great.
Sorry, name again?
Mike. I'm Mike. Easy. Microphone. Mike. Let's say.
Morning, partner.
So what are you looking for here?
Well, you kind of just ride around and do missions. So it's kind of like that, like, player world. You could do whatever you want.
In apartment 15, Andrew is on another planet. Good for him. He just bought a new PlayStation.
My fiancé wasn't too happy about it, but...
Andrew moved to Australia for his fiancé, Alison. Yeah, they live right across the hall from the other Alison, also from North America. It's freaky how similar their stories are.
Yeah, and you didn't know you had two North Americans in the building. But
I didn't even know you were here. I've never seen you before, dude.
Yeah, no, that's right. Absolutely. You think you'd know everyone. And when you kind of walk from the train station and I see all the windows and I'm like, I think I know that one. And nope, no idea.
Andrew and Alison are counting their blessings. They hadn't rushed into organizing their wedding, considering everything going on.
So how many hours do you reckon you've sunk into this thing so far?
Yeah, probably at least an hour or two a day. I mean, it's still new. It's the new toy, so I haven't quite got sick of it yet. But the other thing you could see is my kettlebell over there, and the PlayStation has won over the kettlebell the last couple of days. So I'm gonna have to get that puppy back out and keep those workouts going. My fiance is kind of obsessed with plants. You can see when I came here, there was maybe one or two plants, and now I think we have about 35. And it doesn't matter how many times I tell her to not bring any more plants, she keeps showing
the
up.
The plant addiction sounds serious. Andrew's partner's not here now because she's gardening at her parents' place.
So she didn't want to stick around and watch you play PlayStation.
No, she doesn't like watching me play. I don't know why. She's
so weird. They like that.
This is the one I've been putting off.
Hey, sorry to bother you, man.
Sorry.
How are you doing?
I was thinking.
Yeah, it's fucking. Mike from number 6.
I go inside, and Nathan's place is immaculate.
Nice place. Australian flag. Jamaica.
Jamaica, yeah, because we really like reggae.
Nice.
Yeah, we've noticed, Nathan.
Hey, how are you? Good, thank you. I'm Mike.
At the back, I meet Nathan's girlfriend, Diana.
I thought I'd come up and say hey.
Now I'm here on the back balcony. It's a relaxing vibe.
Would you like to have a beer?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Are you kidding? Yeah, thank you so much.
And Nathan and Diana are really nice. Wasn't what I was expecting.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers. Nathan's here from Brazil on a student visa. He works in gutter cleaning and house washing.
As you can see, I have a ute down there.
He loves the ute.
The majority of the house that I go to clean, like the old guy, they used to say, my wife don't let me get up on the roof, blah, blah, blah.
They always say that?
Yeah, always.
You're going to go back to Brazil, you think?
I don't know. Like, my dream is to be in Australia forever, but it's like really hard to get the residence, right? We are trying.
It's Diana's dream to move to Australia permanently too. Life in Brazil is tough.
So it's too expensive, and the salary is shit, and it's too dangerous, and there is a lot of problems happen. So I love here. Yeah.
And how did you guys meet?
In the Facebook.
On Facebook?
Unbelievable, yeah. Right?
On, how do you meet someone on Facebook?
So this guy asked me to be my friend on Facebook. I was like, okay, who is this guy? So I accept. And like 1 minute before I accept, he was like liking all my photos, like the old ones.
And all these girls, so cute.
I was like, okay, he wants something.
Diana eventually made the first move. That was 3 months ago.
Shut up.
Now we're here on the balcony.
He's in love.
Things are moving fast in apartment. What apartment is this? They are very aware that they are the party unit of the building. But only one person has ever complained. Jared, the opera singer, who shares a wall, came over at 4 a.m. to ask them to turn it down, which is very fair enough.
But I love music. Like, I used to live my life listening to music every fucking time.
You could listen to music all day?
All day, yes. I think I cannot live without music. That's crazy, right?
All right, well, let's hit play. Let's give you some life.
Let me survive. I'm on a lock on the rhythm like a pot up on screen. Lyric of it tight and fit for the scene. The people in my bubble up, I'm moving a team. I still are with the red and the gold and green. I make one step up in a foreign country. The people in my top out of the youth I
Let's do this.
Golden hour is approaching. It's time to help Carolina with her portrait. 2 hours ago, she didn't know my name. Now, we're neighbours, driving together.
Wait, stop.
Yeah, it's all good. We are okay.
It's almost hit someone. That's all right. You all right?
I'm okay. Are you okay?
Yeah,
like, your wife would not forgive me for this one.
I just would have blamed it on the pandemic anyway. Don't worry about it. Almost being in a car accident is a great way to build rapport with your neighbour. In my experience, surviving is a fantastic common purpose.
Okay. Yep.
The ideas I had about my neighbours didn't always stack up.
Okay.
You can't judge a neighbour by their window. Now I see them around. I say hello more. Ask how Ramadan finished up, how little baby Indira's going. I know their names. But the most interesting thing was how little effort it took to go from stranger to neighbour. Also, now I know them, I'd find it very difficult to eat them.
Arncliffe Rear Window was produced by Mike Williams. The sound engineer was Russell Stapleton. I'm Iyuki Ranta, this is Earshot, and I will catch you next time.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.